Welcome to the East City Wesleyan Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you would like to learn more about East City Wesleyan Church, please go to ecw.org.nz for more information. Now, here's your podcast.
In our ECW teaching time, we're following the redemptive story of the whole Bible. And last week on Father's Day, Pastor Josh shared about the father heart of God in sending his son Jesus and the inheritance that we can claim as followers of Christ, an inheritance that can heal and overcome anything from our own personal past. Over these coming weeks, we look forward to digging deeper into New Testament truth and the difference that it can make into our living today. Starting into Matthew's Gospel, we learn of the genealogy of Jesus, his birth, the visit of the Magi, and how John the Baptist came to be the forerunner and to encourage Christ as he came into the world. And then it was the baptism of Jesus that launched and kind of blessed his ministry by the Holy Spirit. And that evocative scene where the words of God the Father says, "This is my Son whom I love and whom I am well pleased." Such a high point, the beginning of Jesus' ministry about to start. And yet immediately we read that Jesus was tempted by the devil in a most demanding and almost bizarre situation. And Jesus finally declares, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." You know, in our own lives, we can sometimes experience similar patterns, new beginnings amid real challenges. This morning I want to share about a new beginning that was born out of struggle and challenge and determination to serve God only, and with a passionate quest for a new future. Today is the 20th anniversary of our first worship service as a new East City Wesleyan Church. It was the 10th of September 2000, when a group of us gathered there at the school hall at Bucklands Beach Primary to commence a new community of faith. Earlier in our worship this morning, we've enjoyed seeing some of the early photographs of our church life and thanking God for his faithfulness. And you know, our new church was the result of much theological struggle in the old Methodist church as we sought a new missional and Bible-based future, where the Holy Spirit would be welcome in a church family that would be intergenerational and multi-ethnic. So thinking back to our church beginnings, I consulted our history book that some of you will be familiar with, and I dug around in the church archives, and I even discovered my first sermon from that day back then in September 2000. How's that for record keeping? Not bad. Well, our scripture readings today from John's Gospel and the Book of Acts were the readings at that inaugural service, and some of the songs and the holy, holy, holy hymn we've been singing today were sung that Sunday. Let me share some key parts of the sermon from that first ECW worship service. So sit back and hear these words, most of them from 20 years ago, and see where they still have that ring of truth and that message from the Holy Spirit for you. We focus first on the reading from Acts chapter 2. Here we read of the early Christians learning from the apostles' teaching, continuing together in close fellowship, sharing belongings, meeting regularly, eating together, praising God, and people were added to their number regularly. Now, there's a church, as you read Acts 2. Oh, to be a member of that kind of church, a church where there's an active and decisive ministry to one another, where families of all ages are glad to come together, where there's a trusting unity and a devotion to the teaching. They had a wonderful time together. They prayed, and every day, as the scripture says, new people were added, were added to the number. They genuinely cared for each other. A church without factions, without cliques, without divisions. In fact, we read, all who believed were together. Now, when this vision of the church in Acts is laid alongside the reality of the church that many of us experienced prior to the year 2000, we might say to ourselves, oh, to be part of that church. And you know what? We are. We are. That is, we, no less than the early Christians, live in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter was not something that just happened once to Jesus. The scripture here says Easter continues to happen. It breaks out all over and is breaking out here today. It's part of the reason we gather Sunday by Sunday, the resurrection day. So you and I are part of this continuing story of the New Testament church that is being told in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so today we are part of that ongoing development of the Acts Church right here in East Auckland. We are a new Easter people serving under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when you think about whatever tough things that you have been through, just to be here today, the fact is that we're here together is a testimony to God's faithfulness and his grace and his goodness for us. So yes, we may not yet fully be the church described in Acts 2, but even in our fumbling efforts to discern God's leading, to pray and to plan, to worship and to witness, we're something of a miracle because we are a new Easter people. And in this new church, we're all new together. And when you think about it, that's kind of a rare occurrence in church. In other words, in our worship today, we're all starting off together as a new community of faith confessing Jesus as Lord. And by such common confession of faith in this ancient three-word statement and our affirmation of the Apostles' Creed, we're all on a level playing field. It doesn't matter whether you are a former member of this church or that church or whatever has happened in the past, we're all new together and forming a family of God. And in this family, every believer has a special part to play. There's a joyfulness that comes to belonging to the family of God as each of us in our uniqueness are being called to be part of a new redeemed family. So we look forward to the good things that God is revealing to us. Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Would any of you who are fathers give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or would you give them a snake when they ask for a fish? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And as we seek and find, we're called into Christian ministry. So service in the body of Christ, the church, isn't optional for Christians. In God's army, there are no volunteers. He's drafted all of us into his service. So to be a Christian is to be more and more like Jesus. He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Service and giving are defining characteristics of the lifestyle expected of every believer. Service and giving. So every ministry, every contribution is important. You hear that? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of these, just as he wanted them to be. And so the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." It's true that some ministries are more visible than others, and some are more behind the scenes. But all are equally valuable and interdependent for the good of the whole and the good of God's mission. So, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, being Christ-centered as our first new value for our church of East City Wesleyan States, we will be calling everyone in our church to wise use of their God-given gifts and abilities. Each person will be cherished and loved for the unique person they are. Well, let's move now to our other Bible reading today, John 14. A reading that's, truth be told, very often heard at funerals. "Jesus, the way, truth, and life. Many rooms in my Father's house. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My peace I leave with you." Beautiful words. And it's an important passage that relates to the lordship of Jesus Christ. "No one goes to the Father except by me." It's a great comfort for all anxious disciples to know there is a place for each one of us. We who have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, staked our future on his way and truth, take comfort that there is a place prepared by him, a room, a mansion, as the King James Version says, a dwelling place. Thank God for the provision of a place for us to gather as a community of faith. Some parts of the world not easily possible. In 2000, it was the school hall of Buckner's Beach Primary. And today, it's our magnificent church centre here in Botany. So Jesus says in a no-nonsense, straightforward way, "No one goes to the Father except by me." Mr. One Way. And it's an exclusive claim that offends liberal permissive sensibilities. An extremely important claim that Jesus makes about himself. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not, "I am one of the ways, if it's okay with you." No, Mr. One Way says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." During the Nazi era of World War II, the German church establishment chided the confessing church in Germany, who resisted and criticized the neo-paganism of Hitler and his followers. In response to this false faith, confessing Christians holding to orthodox biblical belief quoted this very scripture today. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." John 14:6. Any church teaching that is not Christ-centered, Bible-based, and Holy Spirit-led or Holy Spirit-welcoming and under the authority of our Creator God is not worthy of the name Christian. And even more seriously, can lead to a capitulation to the dominant secular worldview of our Western culture. We are called always to recognize and name those threats to the lordship of Jesus Christ over us. So, think about how Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Do you talk and pray to him every day? Do you seek to grow in your knowledge of him? Do you seek to understand and obey his teachings? Do you know that all you have is a gift from him? Do you surrender yourself to Jesus every day and say, Lord, here am I, here am I, use me? What commitment will you make to be a growing disciple under the lordship of Jesus Christ? What do you yearn to do for him? John Wesley, that remarkable church leader and Christian servant from the 18th century, expressed this profound commitment to Jesus in a special prayer that enabled him and others to regularly surrender and yield their lives to Christ and his mission. And the covenant prayer is a prayer some of you will know, and for others it will be new. Let me read it through first, then we can pause and just contemplate for a moment its truth, its Christ-centeredness, and its message of surrender, and then I'll invite you to say the prayer in unison with me. So the covenant prayer, written in the mid-18th century, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will, put me to doing, put me to suffering, let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you, let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. You are mine and I am yours. So be it. Amen. It's a prayer we don't lightly pray. You can see that it's a prayer about saying to the Lord Jesus, here am I, use me. I invite you to say this prayer on this Sunday, as we live in an uncertain world and as we look to an uncertain future, and yet we know with Christ Jesus as the Lord of our life that we will be okay. The church will be okay. Our families will be okay. We will be okay. Pray with me. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. You are mine and I am yours. So be it. Amen. The first value of our congregation in our new church was about being Christ-centered, and that value continues right to this very moment. It's always been there, and our prayer is it will always continue. We desire to be continually Christ-centered. So let's make sure that our confession of Jesus as Lord actually translates into the commitment of being growing disciples, surrendered and yielded to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Dear God, 20 years for our church seems like a long time, especially to children and younger people. Yet to you, O God, for whom 1,000 years is like one day, our church is a small part of your overall redemptive plan for the world and is still new and fresh. We're grateful that you led our leaders all those years ago amid many ups and downs and uncertainties, that you gave us a real unity of purpose and commitment, provided temporary facilities for us to meet, and then made provision for our wonderful church centre. Thank you for all the hard work, the sacrifice, the skills and generosity shared that made the life of our new church possible. Thank you for so many baptisms and child dedications. Thank you for testimonies of new life and Holy Spirit-inspired change. Thank you for times of celebrations with weddings and times when we cried together in funerals. Thank you for our multi-ethnic and intergenerational life together. Thank you for community outreach when we act as salt and light to those around us. And thank you for always nudging us to mission beyond ourselves. Help us always to hold on to our founding values of being Christ-centered, Bible-based, Holy Spirit-led and vision-driven for your glory. As the old hymn says, we'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. This is our prayer in the name of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.